At Papa's burial, I whispered, was justice done here, too? Knowing what I referred to, Frank said, no, ma'am, no due process, this was murder. He had spoken loudly. Turning red, he stood gulping like a turkey. Then he whispered, this was murder, Miss Carrie. But some would say that this was justice, too. Four of Papa's friends came from the islands. Stiff and shy, they stood apart in threadbare Sunday suits and white shirts without collars buttoned up tight. Lucius introduced them to Eddie and me. Captain Bembry Storter and his son Hode, Mr. Gene Roberts from Flamingo, Mr. Willie Brown. The men paid their respects and offered a few words of formal regret. Where, I wondered, was Postmaster Smallwood, or Erskine Thompson, or Tant Jenkins, who had known us since childhood? When Lucius moved away, the island men, very uncomfortable and nervous, urged us to prevail on our younger brother not to return to Chokoloskee Bay asking hard questions. For Ed Watson's son, it would simply be too dangerous.
He won't listen,
Eddie grumped and moved away. A little woman stood with Lucius, very bright dark eyes and long black hair, cheaply dressed, but pretty, I suppose, in a common way. She had a girl with her, a 10-year-old or thereabouts, eyes hollowed out by weeping, rather plain. When the child caught me staring, she smiled a small, shy smile, then dropped her eyes. Lucius had embraced these females a bit freely, so it seemed to me. When I asked him who they were, he said, Tant's sister from Caxambus and her daughter Pearl.
The one who kept house for Papa, lost her baby in the hurricane?
Lucius nodded.
Is that the one that he called Netta?
He shook his head. Aunt Netta's half-sister. I kept after him, jealous, because he knew an intimate side of Papa's life that I did not. I said meanly,
and did this female betray Mama with Papa too, like your Aunt Netta? Why is she sniffling so hard? She have a cold?
Lucius gazed at me, not sure how much I knew. She loved him, I think. His mild tone chastised me. By now, Sheriff Tippins had overheard us. Trying to smooth things after Lucius moved away, Frank Tippins said,
Lucius is taking this real hard, Miss Carrie. At Rabbit Key.
I cut him off, indicating that Caxambus delegation.
He's not the only one, it seems.
Poor Frank was embarrassed. Well, no, ma'am. I mean,
my father was no saint,
I murmured, to let him off the hook.
No, ma'am, he said.
That pale child is my half-sister, isn't she?
I said after a pause.
I reckon so, Miss Carrie.
I thanked him for his candor, and he tipped his hat.
That the same old hat you bathed in?
I said, hating my own mood. He took it off and looked at it.
Yes, ma'am. Same old hat.
Like Lucius, he soon moved away, and who could blame him? Sun came, sun went. The clay earth of the grave was yellow-orange, dead, unwelcoming.
Who could rest in peace in such poor soil?
But I was glad of this cold norther, because even in the wind the odor of that box was shocking, truly. Driven back, the circle of Baptist faces looked stuffed tight, sipping their breaths, and women coughed, resorting to their hankies. I was grateful to those brave few who still pretended that they noticed nothing. But surely they, too, were horrified by that frightful stench and the very thought of the putrefying corpse inside. The only one who dragged out his big kerchief and held it to his nose, the only one who hawked and spat, was Mr. Cole, who drove up late in his new red Rio, scared he might miss some mean little moment he could chortle over later. Jim Cole hated Papa for not hiding his contempt. He had no business here among the mourners. Unable to hide my resentment, I turned away from him.